Our message for today. Some of us would rather stay. That's all right. Well, have you ever missed the point? Have you ever missed the point of what someone was saying? I know you have, because I have too. This is something that happens to all of us, and I see some people laughing and whoosh, over my head. Wonderful. In fact, there's a joke out there. A university study several years ago declared this to be the funniest joke in the world, so take that for what it's worth. It's all right, I guess. But in this joke, Sherlock Holmes, the fictional detective, and his assistant, Dr. Watson, are going camping. Sherlock and Watson, they pitch their tent under the stars and they go to sleep, and then in the middle of the night, Sherlock Holmes wakes up Dr. Watson and he says, "Watson, look at the stars. And tell me what you deduce from the sight of the stars above our heads." And Watson says, "Well, you know, I suppose I see millions of stars out there. And I suppose some of those stars may have planets, probably do. And some of those planets may be like Earth. And if they're like Earth, they may support life. And so what I deduce is that from the sight of these millions of stars, what I deduce is that maybe there's life out there among the stars." And Sherlock says, "No, Holmes, someone has stolen our tent." Best in the world? I don't know. Watson, though, he missed the point. He missed the point. And that's what we're talking about today, this hard saying of Jesus. We've been talking about the hard sayings of Jesus this Lent. Sundays in Lent, we've been talking about those things Jesus said which confuse us. We've been talking about those things Jesus said which even offend us. We've been talking about those things Jesus said which confront us sometimes. And today's hard saying is kind of unique among the hard sayings we've looked at so far, because many of us don't really see this as a hard saying of Christ. We've kind of missed the point. When Jesus tells us to love your enemies, well, I believe that we've heard that statement so many times in our lives that it's kind of started to lose its meaning. It's lost its challenge for us. You know, we think we know what it means to love our enemies, and we think, oh, maybe it's not that hard. We think it's not really that difficult, and we can handle it. But I believe we have missed the point of what Jesus commands us to do here. This is a hard saying. So let's take a closer look at our reading for today. That's in your bulletin if you want, or also it'll be on the screens. And we'll start by looking at the first half of this reading, where Jesus says to you who are listening, "I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." So we hear these words of Jesus, and I'm convinced that many of us don't really see the real challenge behind them. We think that Jesus is basically telling us to be nice here. Be nice so that others are nice to you. We think that Jesus is telling us to be nice so that others will see how nice a guy Jesus is. So we think about this and we say, you know, I can do this. I can pray for someone who doesn't like me. I could even pray for someone who hates me. We think, you know, I could pray for someone who doesn't like Jesus. We think, you know, I think I could have some restraint. If someone's trying to get in a fight, someone tries to slap me, I could have some restraint. I could turn the other cheek. We think, you know, I could keep my cool even if someone were to come and try to take my stuff. If there's a mugger or a robber or a thief or someone, we think we can do this. So we think it's a good idea to be nice to those others who hate us. We think it's a good idea to be nice to those people who even harm us. But if I pressed you and if I were to ask you why, why is it important? Why is it a good idea to love your enemies? What would you say? Well, probably something like, well, if I love them, eventually they'll come around, right? Eventually, if I love them, you know, if I keep praying for them, they'll start to like me. They'll see that I'm different. I'm not hating them back, and they'll start to like me. You'll think, if I would actually give my shirt to this robber who comes and takes my coat, that robber would be so astounded. He'd say, "Wow, you are such a nice person. I can't take your coat from you. Here you go. Take it back." And if we're honest with ourselves, we really do expect to get something good. We really do expect to get something good out of loving our enemies. And we do this most of all with verse 31 right in the middle. Jesus says, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the golden rule, after all. We all learned this as children. We all teach this to our kids as well. And how do we teach this rule to our kids? How do we usually do this? Usually, it's something like sharing, right? If you share your toys with other children, you should. You need to share your toys with other children. And why do you do that? Because we all get along better when we learn to take turns. We all get along better when we share. And let me say, there's nothing wrong with teaching our kids to share. There's nothing wrong with teaching our kids to be nice to others and hoping they'll be nice back. But that's not really what Jesus is telling us here. That's not really the point. That's not the kind of situation Jesus is talking about when he tells us to do to others as you would have them do to you. In fact, Jesus goes on, he specifically rejects this idea. In case I haven't convinced you, Jesus tells you that loving your enemies doesn't count for anything if you get something out of it, if you do it for your own good. Jesus continues in verse 32, and he says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you?" It's a rhetorical question, but the answer is none, right? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. And again, Jesus isn't telling us not to love. Jesus isn't telling us not to do good. Jesus isn't telling us not to lend money that we expect to be paid back on. These are all fine things to do, but what Jesus is telling us is that we can do better than that. We can do better than that. Jesus is telling us to love those people who won't ever love us back. Love your enemies, Jesus says, and we don't expect them to come around. You know, we don't expect them to suddenly do good by us. Jesus is telling us to pray for those people who hate us and always will. Jesus is telling us to bless those people who might only ever work to our harm. As so Jesus would say, when the mugger comes and demands your wallet, gladly offer him your watch as well, right? As a modern version of that. Jesus is thinking of people here like, ISIS, right? They've been in the news lately. People who seem to think that if you're not one of them, you need to die. Jesus says, pray for those guys. Jesus is thinking of people like hardened criminals who only ever work to harm and only ever work to for their own good at the expense of everyone else. Jesus is saying, pray for those people. Love those people. Is it starting to sound like Jesus is giving us a really unreasonable command here? It should be. This should be starting to sound more and more like a hard saying. So it's pretty clear what Jesus is telling us to do here, and it seems like a pretty unreasonable command. Love your enemies is a hard saying for us. But let's ask one question. Why? Why does Jesus tell us to love our enemies? And to answer that question, we'll look to the end of our reading where Jesus says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Mercy is the key to this hard saying. And if you look back at verse 31 through the eyes of mercy, it really changes everything. If you look at the golden rule through the eyes of mercy, it really changes everything about that statement. When Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you, he isn't talking about kids learning to share a toy. When Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you, you should be thinking more of a courtroom. You should be thinking more of a criminal defendant. In fact, you should imagine yourself as that person who's been caught committing a crime. You've been caught red-handed, the police have arrested you, and they've hauled you up before the judge. And in that situation, what do you want? Do you want the judge to look at the facts and decide your case appropriately? No, not at all. In that situation, when you're the accused, you want mercy. In that situation where you're the accused, when you're the one on trial, you want grace. When you're the one on trial, you want every charge dropped and forget about what happened. So, Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Love your enemies, he says. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because he is kind. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And so suddenly we see why Jesus tells us to love our enemies. When someone hates you, he says, have mercy on them. Do good in return. When someone curses you, have mercy on them and bless them in return. When someone slaps you, have mercy on them and turn the other cheek to them as well. When someone takes your coat, have mercy on them and give them your shirt. Give mercy to the wrongdoer, Jesus says, just as you desire mercy for your own sins. Do to others as you would have them do to you. So none of this is about being nice. None of this is about life being better when we all get along. None of this is about learning to play together, right? Loving your enemies is all about mercy. It's about grace. And the truth is that each and every one of us has experienced that courtroom scene. Each and every one of us stands before God as a criminal, caught red-handed. Each and every one of us stands before God as a sinner. We're guilty of that. And in that situation, our only hope is that the judge won't do justice. Our only hope is that the judge will overlook the fact that our sinful selves are the absolute enemy of law and justice and everything that's good in the world. So our hope, our desire, is that our judge would have mercy. Our hope is that our God would have mercy upon us. And he does. Our God gives us mercy and grace because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Our God sent his only Son into the world to live a sinless life. Jesus took our sins upon himself. Jesus took our punishment upon himself. And because Jesus died in our place, because Jesus rose again from the dead, our judge has mercy. Our judge has mercy. And I lost my place. Our judge has mercy because of Jesus. And because our Father in heaven gives us grace and mercy instead of justice and punishment, and because God is merciful to us, now Jesus commands us to love our enemies. Jesus now commands us to give the same mercy we have received. Jesus commands us to do to others what we would have God do for us. And what this hard saying means for our lives is that Jesus actually here calls us to give, and Jesus calls us to forgive even when it doesn't seem smart. Jesus commands us, give to everyone who asks of you. And if someone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. And we hear that statement, and our reason tells us that that is a surefire way to let someone take advantage of you. Our reason would tell us that we need to punish the sin if someone is taking unjustly or asking unjustly. Our reason tells us we can't just give things away because someone would misuse it. And yet, if you were the one taking the handout, if you were the one asking, even dishonestly, if you were the one doing the taking, what would you want from the person you ask? What would you want from your victim, even? You would want the free gift. You would want the mercy. You would want forgiveness for the crime. And you know, there is no easy application for this hard saying, because we don't hear this hard saying in a vacuum. At the same time we hear Jesus command to have mercy, we also know that we're called to promote order and justice and law in our society. That's a good thing. That's part of our vocation as parents. That's part of our vocation as American citizens. And we know that law and order and justice are all good things, and we know that to let someone remain in a life of sin is no act of love. So really, all we can do with this hard saying is we have to live in the tension. We have to live in the tension because Jesus calls us to have mercy. Jesus calls us to forgive people who are sinning against us even as they are doing it. Jesus calls us to love our enemies. And at the same time, we're equally called to promote order and justice and peace and the rule of law in our world. We live our lives both in God's kingdom of grace and in God's kingdom of justice at the same time. That's what makes this a hard saying. And so all we can do is simply live our lives as faithfully as we can, and we always have to make this decision between justice and mercy, between law and gospel. But what this hard saying of Jesus can tell us for sure is, don't be afraid to have mercy. Don't be afraid to give to someone when even it might not seem wise. Don't be afraid to forgive someone when that doesn't seem smart. And when you have mercy on those who do you wrong, when you love your enemies, don't be afraid to share the name of Christ in that act. Let your mercy be your witness to the love, the grace, the mercy, and the salvation which you have received in Jesus Christ. And my hope, my prayer, is that others would see this congregation, Southwest Lutheran Church, and indeed the whole Church of God on earth, as people of mercy. Our hope and our prayer is that the mercy which we have received from God the Father through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, and by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, our hope and our prayer is that God's mercy would flow through us to our community and to our world. Because the truth is, our world knows law and justice pretty well. Our world does a pretty good job of condemning those people whom it finds objectionable for whatever reason. So our hope and our prayer is that we would be the people sharing the mercy which our world so desperately needs. Amen. All right, let's stand.